Amen.
As I said at 9 o'clock, if that time of worship didn't bless you, your blesser is broken. Appreciate that so much. Hebrews chapter 7 this morning is where we're going to be as we continue our God is Able series. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Friday night, looking forward to the Fall Festival. It's going to be a beautiful evening, and we always have hundreds out for that activity, and the weather's just going to be perfect on Friday evening, so we hope you'll all be able to come out to all-church event. We always have a great time on that, and then don't forget to November the 8th, Saturday, November the 8th, our spiritual life weekend, but especially Saturday. We need you to register for that. We have a great group already registered, but we need you to go out there and register. Again, the event itself is free, but we're having lunch provided, and we need to know how many to provide for. The event starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, and you know me, we will start right at 10 a.m., and it will go till 1:30. And so we're looking forward to that great weekend. It's all about God has something for you. And it's all about the call of God on our lives as His people. And listen, God is continually calling His people to something, always, throughout our life. And this is really, I think, going to help us solidify maybe what is it right now in my life that God is calling me to? That's sort of going to be the kickoff, if you will, for the rest of the year. We're going to be talking about that as well. But right now, we're in the God is Able series. And I'd like you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, sort of the key verse that we're going to be drawing from this morning in this passage. Please look at it with me. So he, Jesus, is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Before we get into this passage this morning, I need to take a moment and set the historical and biblical context of where we're at. The book of Hebrews was written to first century Jews, hence the name Hebrews. These Jewish people had embraced Jesus Christ as their Savior. They had come out of Old Testament Judaism, of the Old Covenant, and they had wrapped their arms and their hearts around Jesus. As they began to live their lives as Christians, there was so much pressure, so much persecution, so many challenges and trials, because many of these folks, their family members, their friends, their associates, who were their fellow Jews, were really putting pressure and persecuting them for leaving the temple, for leaving the sacrifices, for leaving the Old Testament way of doing things, and looking at Jesus as their Messiah. And there came this sort of tipping point, if you will, in their life where many of them started to think and contemplate, I'm going back. This life is too hard, too difficult. I'm going back. And the author of Hebrews comes along through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and writes this book of exhortation, of encouragement. And he's basically saying to them, don't go back. I'm not saying it's not hard right now. I'm not saying that your life isn't filled with difficulties and trials and whatever. But if you go back to that, that's no improvement over what you already have, because who you have Jesus. Amen. And you can't improve upon Jesus. And listen, the Old Testament covenant, the Old Testament economy, it wasn't that it was bad. It was simply that it was incomplete and it was temporary. In the plan and purposes of God, it was never meant to fulfill all that God was going to do for human beings. It was simply to point people to Jesus Christ and to their need of Jesus. That's what the whole sacrificial system was all about. That's what the law was all about. In fact, if you look at chapter 7, look at verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. All the law did was reveal sin. It could never remove sin, only reveal it. Think of the law of God as an X-ray. You go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, you get an X-ray. The X-ray shows us what's wrong on the inside, but it can't fix it. That's the law. The law was simply given to remind us we are sinners, we are separated from a holy God, and we need salvation. We need somehow God's provision to get back to him. That's what the law was all about. And then if you go over to chapter 10 for a moment, look at verses 3 and 4. Hebrews 10, 3 and 4. In those sacrifices, there was a reminder of sins year after year, but not a removal. For the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It only pointed to the necessary need of a sacrifice, of a blood sacrifice, for the Bible teaches us that without the shedding of blood, Leviticus 17, 11, there can be no remission or cancellation of sin, because the life of every being is in the blood, and the blood needed to be sacrificed because the life needed to be sacrificed. Again, this was all pointing to the amazing, unbelievable, unprecedented sacrifice of Jesus for each of us. So again, the Old Testament economy wasn't bad. It was simply incomplete and temporary. And so the author is saying, if you go back to that system can do nothing for you. You've already got everything you need in Jesus. And I'm not saying your life is easy, but you need to continue to press forward. And in Hebrews chapter 7, he shares with these folks and with us today why we need to hold fast to our confession as Christians and keep moving forward with Jesus. First of all, because Jesus is the indestructible one. Second, Jesus is the incomparable one. Third, Jesus is the interceding one. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 7 at the end of verse 16. Excuse me, he talks about Jesus having the power of an indestructible life, an endless life, a permanent life. Notice that he emphasizes this with Jesus throughout this passage of Scripture. Draw an arrow from the end of verse 16 and come down to verse 17. You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek. Now, there's a lot in this passage we're not going to get to or cover today. That's for another place and another time, including the priesthood of Melchizedek and all of that. But for our emphasis today, just note this. The power of an indestructible life. Jesus is a priest forever. Then if you go down to verse 21, notice he says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. And then verse 24, he holds his priesthood permanently since he lives forever. And then finally in verse 25, he always lives to intercede for them. The author of Hebrews is saying, look, Jesus is unlike any other, because he is the indestructible priest. And he's contrasting and comparing Jesus' priesthood to the Old Testament priests who were fulfilling their duty as the priest of God. But unlike Jesus, who was both 100% human and 100% divine or deity, they were only human. And therefore, they had frailties. They had failings, they had sin of their own, and they always couldn't be there for their constituents, and they died. And so there were lapses, and there was intermissions or interruptions in their priesthood. And there was change, because depending on how long you lived and how old your priest was, you might go through two or three priests in a lifetime, and you'd have to get used to this new priest and how they did things, and they weren't going to do things and be a priest exactly like the former priest. The author is saying, but Jesus, once we have him as our priest, his life is indestructible. And there's no lapses to his priesthood. There's no interruptions to his priesthood. There's no change to his priesthood. You and I never have to worry about, you know, him not being able to be there for us because somehow something's going to happen to him. In fact, that's why in verse 22, he tells us that he is the guarantor of a better covenant. He's our security. He's our surety, because Jesus never fails. Jesus is fail-safe, you see, because he's indestructible. There's no one or nothing in this universe that can affect him, that can cause somehow his priesthood not to be effective for us and not to be all that we need, unlike the Old Testament priests in the order of the Levitical priesthood. And so he sets forth Jesus, first of all, as the indestructible one, the one that, you know, even for us today, we have family members, we have friends, we have associates, we have fellow believers, whatever. And we can approach each other day after day, but let's face it, we never know for sure what we're going to get from anyone. Because depending on their mood, their attitude, their circumstances, whatever, they might be totally different one day than they are the next. But God is never that way. See, Jesus Christ, according to the author of Hebrews, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We always know who and what we're getting with Jesus, because he's indestructible, and he does not change. And so you and I can truly feel secure and sure in the priesthood of Jesus because of his indestructibility. He's always going to be there. There's never going to be a lapse or interruption or change to his priesthood. And we always know who and what we're getting with Jesus. But Jesus is not only the indestructible one, he's the incomparable one. Notice in verse 19 and in verse 22, the word better. The word better here speaks about someone or something that is far superior, way more excellent than anything that could be compared or contrasted to it. And the word better is the key word of the book of Hebrews. Out of the 15 times that this word is used in the New Testament, 12 times it's used just in this book. And the author of Hebrews is using the word better in this respect. He's saying the word better in the book of Hebrews sets forth the absolute supremacy of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the benchmark of all that is better. That Jesus Christ and all that he brings are infinitely better. That Jesus is better, and anything and everything connected with Jesus Christ is better. So again, understand the context here. The author of Hebrews is saying to these people who are contemplating going back under the old covenant, why would you do that? You have Jesus Christ. He's the best you could ever have. You can't do better than Jesus. You can't improve on Jesus. He's better than that. He provides, notice, verse 19, a better hope. A more absolute, certain, confident hope, because he, Jesus, is our hope by which we draw near to God. In fact, this is another emphasis of the author of Hebrews in contrast to the Old Testament economy. notice that he's saying, here's one of the things that Jesus brought that was better. We can now draw near to God. We can literally enter his presence. We have the privilege and honor of access to the very presence of God. Let's remember something. Under the old covenant, only the high priest and only once a year on the Day of Atonement could he enter the Holy of Holies. You and I, we get to enter the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, anytime we want, anywhere we want, about anything we want. I mean, let's face it, we take that privilege for granted. Because under the Old Testament, the people of God couldn't simply enter the presence of God. The means to do that wasn't opened yet because Jesus had not come and made the necessary sacrifice in order to open the way. And here, we have a better hope. We get to enter the very presence of God and draw as near to God as we want to be. Jesus is better. So why go back, the author of Hebrews says? Because what you had there, it's not better than Jesus. And what message then does that send to us today as New Testament Christians living today? Well, I think a very relevant message. Because we live in a world of distractions. And we live in a world that is continually trying to draw us away from Jesus. Amen. Whether it's the world that's doing that, whether it's the devil that's trying to do that, whether it's even our own flesh that desires something other than Jesus, the author of Hebrews is saying to all of us, Jesus is better than anything you're running after right now. Jesus is better than any priority that's more important than him. Jesus is better than any earthly pursuit that you're pursuing except him. He's better. You can't improve upon Jesus. You can't do better than Jesus. He is the incomparable one. No one or nothing can compare to him. So why would we choose anything or anyone more than we would choose to follow Jesus? And then we come to verse 25. He is not just the indestructible one, the incomparable one. He is the interceding one. But let's talk about the beginning of this verse first. Notice it says, Jesus is able, and that is in the present tense. That means he is continually able to save. Not just once, but continually. You see, the author of Hebrews is pointing out something very important to all. And that is, yes, there is that moment in time where we can come to trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we can be saved. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can enter into a personal relationship with God and become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. But that's just to establish the relationship. That doesn't mean that we don't need saving anymore, that we don't need rescuing anymore, that we don't need delivering anymore. Because even though we are children of God, we still are living in these mortal fleshly bodies. And throughout our Christian life, all of us throughout our life need continual deliverance and continual rescue and continually being saved from someone or something. And Jesus is able to do that. You see, he can save us from anything and everything. Because though positionally we are perfect in God's sight, because we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Practically speaking, we're not there. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, listen, Jesus is continually able to save us completely. Some Bible translations say to the uttermost or to the end. And what the author of Hebrews is simply saying is, first of all, Jesus is able to save us completely as far as duration goes, from beginning to end. From the moment you and I trust him as our Savior to the time that you and I stand before him face to face in heaven, Jesus has us covered from beginning to end. And again, his priesthood is never interrupted. It never lapses. It never changes. And so the author is trying to give them such great assurance that keep following Jesus, because you can't do better than Jesus and his priesthood for you. He is able to save you from beginning to end. No wonder Paul said, the one who began a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's got you from the beginning to the end. But secondly, this word completely not just speaks of duration, it speaks of extent. It means that there is no aspect, no part of our being that Jesus can't save us from, can't deliver us from, can't rescue us from. So let's make this real practical today. Some of you are here today. You may struggle with some kind of destructive or bad habit. Jesus can save you, deliver you, rescue from that. Some of you might be here and you struggle with some kind of addiction. Jesus can save, deliver, and rescue from that addiction. He's able to save completely. Some of you, you may struggle with a bad attitude or about bad outlook on life. Maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe you struggle with depression. Maybe you struggle with fear and doubt. Jesus is able to save you completely. There is no aspect of our life as a Christian that Jesus can't rescue, deliver, and save us from and bring us into victory and help us to overcome it. Jesus is the indestructible one. He is the incomparable one, and he's the one who can save us completely. And then the author says, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, those who have the privilege of access through him, because that's the only way we can come to God. There is no other way than Jesus. If you're trying to get to God any other way, by any other means other than Jesus Christ, there is no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. That's it. The only way you and I can come to God and have access to God and draw near to God is when we come through Jesus. And then he adds, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Now, when most Christians look at the word intercede, the first thing they think of is Jesus is praying for me. And I don't want to minimize that at all, because that is a small part of what the author of Hebrews is trying to communicate here. And yes, it should be hugely encouraging for us to know that Jesus, our Creator, our Savior, prays for us. If we're encouraged when we know other Christians are praying for us, it should certainly should be encouraging and comforting to know that Jesus is praying for us. But this word means way more than just that he's praying for us. This word speaks about Jesus literally immersing himself into our lives. That he is all in with us. fully engaged, always there for us. Think of Jesus as the procurer of heaven's help for every need that we have. He literally is up there in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, the highest place in the universe. And he is literally directing traffic and sending out what heaven can do to help his people continually. I don't want to in any way be disrespectful of God by using this illustration at all, but I'm going to use it hopefully to maybe help some of us to sort of grasp what this word means. Think of the largest Amazon warehouse you can. And realize that heaven, there's this warehouse of unlimited resources and provisions for God's people. Supernatural and unlimited. And here's Jesus, literally like an air traffic controller directing traffic. This person needs this right now. Hey, I need to get that to them. This person needs this now. And God not only is sending out heaven's help, but sometimes even heaven's angels. Because the author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 1:14 that the angels are ministering spirits sent out. And who's sending them? To those who have become heirs of salvation. Sometimes I think that, you know, we don't even realize that Jesus is sending out angelic help to us, and we don't even know it, but we need it. And Jesus is literally doing this at all times. This is part of intercession. He's making sure, because of where he's at the right hand of the Father, that the needs of his people are being met, and he's sending that help out at all times in the most timely manner, in the most efficient way. That's what it means to intercede. And it means, too, that Jesus is all in with us, fully engaged with us, even when we aren't with him. Because he's faithful even when we're not. In fact, no one can help us better than Jesus, because no one knows us better than Jesus. Jesus even knows what we need better than we do. Which is why it should be encouraging and comforting to know the one who's directing help that I need to me is none other than Jesus, the one who died for me and created me. He's not only the indestructible one, he's not only the incomparable one who's better than anyone or anything else, he's the interceding one. Yes, he's praying, but he's also procuring heaven's help for every need that we have and making sure that we get that help when we need it. What a God. To think how many days and maybe hours of a day that even we as God's people don't pay any mind to God, and God is always fully engaged with us. Never takes his eyes off of us. Fully attentive to everything about us. Even though we may come to believe that God doesn't care and God doesn't see and God doesn't know, the Bible reveals just the opposite character about our God. There is no detail of our life that God doesn't know. There's nothing about what we're going through that God is not aware of. And the author of Hebrews is trying to encourage his people. God knows it's tough right now. God knows what you're going through right now. God knows the pressure and persecution you're under. But God is going to make sure that you have what's necessary to keep moving ahead with him. Don't go back. Hold on to Jesus. Because Jesus is never going to stop interceding for his people until the day again that we stand before him in glory. In closing today, would you go back with me just a few chapters to Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, and I hope that you'll see these verses even maybe in a different or new light today. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing, empathizing, understanding our human weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy, reassurance, relief, restoration, reinforcement, and find grace whenever we need help. You know what the word help means? It speaks of concrete intervention at the very moment it is needed. Concrete intervention. God promises to help, to intervene at the very moment it is needed with the very thing that we need. That's the kind of help that Jesus gives as our great high priest, the one who is procuring heaven's help for our every need. Only Jesus can do that. There is nothing or no one else that can take care of us like Jesus. No one will ever care for us or love us and look out for us and provide for us and protect us like Jesus. And so may all of us be encouraged today to continue to follow him no matter what, and to hold fast to our confession. Don't go backwards. Don't let discouragement get the best of you. Keep moving forward with Jesus, because you cannot improve upon him. You cannot do better than Jesus. Once you and I have Jesus, we have the very best. Jesus is the best any human being could ever do. Hold on to him. I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come. And while they're coming and getting settled on the platform, I'm going to ask you to stand and join me in a moment of prayer. Father, I pray today that all of us, God, would be reminded of who we have and what we have in Jesus. That, Lord, when we have Jesus, we cannot improve upon him. He's indestructible. He's incomparable. He's the interceding one who's immersed in our lives like no other. He's all in with us, even when we're not with him. And God, I pray that today we would just solidify our stand in Jesus, our life in Jesus, and that, Lord, we would realize that we can't do better than him. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.